mask is an act of love, where to? Democracy Now! Is produced by an amazing group of people. I want to thank Renee Feltz and Mike Burke. Special birthday greetings to Brendan Allen. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You're tuned to WEFT Champaign, 90.1 FM, where you'll find music, news, and views that are nowhere else on the airwaves.
This hour of programming on WEFT is brought to you by the Urbana Park District and the listeners of WEFT. UPD has announced the reopening of their buildings and the relaunch of in-person programs following current Restore Illinois COVID-19 protocols. For more information about virtual park district sessions and UPD's reopening plans, visit urbanaparks.org.
Daily Bread Soup Kitchen, an all-volunteer operation, is located at 116 North 1st Street in Champaign. Their mission is to feed the hungry of Champaign County 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Because 1 in 7 adults and 1 in 5 children in our county are food insecure, and because so many have lost their jobs or are experiencing a lack of resources during the coronavirus crisis, the need is right there. While the dining room is closed during this time, good nutritious meals and sack lunches are available for pickup at the front door daily. For more information, visit dailybreadsoupkitchen.com. Guests will get good meals and a little certainty in these uncertain times.
This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for a rebroadcast of an interview with Shirley Perez and Ruth Aguilar of the Ligas Family Advocate Program on an upcoming virtual seminar. But first, disability news for the week of February 15th, 2021. Many U.S. senators are asking President Joe Biden to fulfill his campaign proposal to invest in Medicaid home and community-based services. 31 Democratic senators said that the administration should proceed with a plan to expand that assistance for people with disabilities. Biden unveiled a proposal last summer to address the caregiving crisis, which included a commitment to spend $450 billion over 10 years to allow people to receive care in community-based settings. Biden said he wanted to give states enough money to cover the full cost of providing home and community-based services to each person with a disability who's currently on a waiting list. A group of lawmakers led by Bob Casey of Pennsylvania and Cory Booker of New Jersey want to see that investment happen soon. They argue that investing in home and community-based services would help drive economic growth, create good jobs in the caregiving field, and meet the needs of aging Americans and people with disabilities. White House officials have not yet commented on the status of that proposal. A second major entertainment company is pledging to consider actors with disabilities for every one of its film and television projects. NBC Universal said it has signed a pledge from the Ruderman Family Foundation that calls on Hollywood studios, networks, and production companies to audition actors with disabilities for each new production they bring to series. The decision by NBC Universal comes after CBS signed the Ruderman Pledge in 2019. Neither company is required to hire actors with disabilities under that agreement, but advocates say that making an effort to audition such talent is an important step. A report out earlier this year found that 3.5% of regular characters on scripted broadcast television series this season have disabilities, which is a record high. But that number falls far short of reflecting the number of people with disabilities in the American population. The Rudderman Family Foundation noted that just 22% of characters with disabilities on television are played by actors with disabilities themselves. A new apartment complex in Connecticut is offering a new model for people with disabilities, a chance to live independently. 10 of the 40 units in the new Bear Creek Apartments in Canton, Connecticut have special accessibility features, affordable rents, a specialty meal program, and digital technology that enables staff to help adjust temperatures and lighting without entering the apartments. The Arc of the Farmington Valley, also known as FAVR, will staff on-site office around the clock and will provide van transportation to the tenants' jobs. Each of the two-bedroom units will have two tenants, and almost all of whom are moving from family homes and some from group homes. The new complex, which is opening this month, provides an inclusive environment. A nearby agency facility will cook meals in advance, and tenants can order what they want each week, and the food will be kept in refrigerated storage in the building. Stephen Morris is the executive director of FAVR. They said Morris, quote, "We've learned over the years that it's difficult to get people to eat healthy if you're not cooking. So we built a commercial kitchen preparing healthy meals. There's an inverse relationship with the health of food and the more independent living someone has. We didn't want to put all of this energy and enthusiasm into independent housing only to see people's health decline," end quote. The apartments are physically accessible and allow for tenants to age in place with reinforced ceilings ready for lift systems if and when needed. The goal is to provide an alternative to care in a family home or life in a standard group home. And finally, the CDC and Department of Education are laying out a roadmap for safely reopening schools to in-person learning, complete with details on how to serve students with disabilities. Measures include universal masking, social distancing, hand washing, cleaning of facilities, and contact tracing. A supplement to the CDC document clarifies that students with disabilities should not be left behind as schools resume in-person learning. The document indicates that given the needs of students with disabilities are often to meet in a virtual environment, it may be appropriate to prioritize this group. According to the Education Department, quote, "The narrow subset of students with disabilities who cannot wear a mask because of their disability or cannot safely wear a mask may still safely attend school if other mitigation strategies are able to be followed, including correct masking for others who work or learn with them," end quote. And that's the news for this week.
Get out the map, get out the map, and lay your finger anywhere down. Leave the figure into those we pass on our way out of town. Don't drink the water, there seems to be something ailing everyone. I'm gonna clear my head, I'm gonna drink that sun. I'm gonna love you good and strong, while I love is good and young.
You are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today but with two guests, Shirley Perez and Ruth Aguilar, who are employees of the Arc of Illinois and specifically the Ligas Family Advocate Program, which they will explain to us. So welcome to the program, ladies.
Thank you.
Hello.
And thank you.
Thank you. So why don't we start, Ruth, with you, and you can introduce yourself, and then we'll talk to Shirley about her, give her introduction, and then we'll dig more into what the Ligas Family Advocate Program is. So, Ruth, why don't you start?
Yes, thank you so much, Vicki. My name is Ruth Aguilar, like you mentioned, and I am a parent of a special needs girl with Rett syndrome. So I have the personal background and experience of having a special needs daughter. And on the professional side, I have been in in this field for a number of years, so I have a combined experience of over 15 years in the disability population and being a strong advocate. I recently started working at the Arc of Illinois with Shirley Perez and under the Liga's Family Advocate Program. So I am really happy to be here today.
And I know that Shirley was very excited to have you on the program with her today. So Shirley, why don't you go next?
Well, thank you so much, Vicki. And let me say thank you so much for continuing to do a great job with Disability Beat. I am Shirley Perez. I am the parent of an individual who just happens to live with developmental and intellectual disabilities. In my professional capacity, I serve as the program director for the Liga's Family Advocate program, one of the many programs of the Arc of Illinois, and I'm also the director of the Family Support Network. But today we're here to talk about the Liga's Family Advocate Program. And you are exactly right. I'm so excited to have Ruth with me because at the ARC, we're always looking for ways to try to expand the support of our family. And having someone with her background as well as the knowledge and also being able to connect in more depth with our Spanish-speaking families really makes me excited.
I know that that has been a need for a very long time. So, yeah, I'm excited, too. It's going to be a great addition to the program. So let's maybe for those people who haven't heard you on this program before, maybe the two of you can talk a little bit about what, first of all, what the Arc of Illinois does, and then talk more specifically about the Liga's Family Advocate Program.
Absolutely. Let me start off by saying the Arc of Illinois is the largest advocacy organization in the state of Illinois. We have about 47 chapters across the state in the United States of America. We have a national presence in Washington, and we advocate for people to make sure that they are included, that their needs are heard, that they are our voice. We're actually known as the voice of people who happen to live with disabilities. And we have seven additional programs. And what these programs do is meet a specific need of people with disabilities. It's kind of like a one-stop shop. We don't provide direct support. However, we can connect you with the resources. The Liga's Family Advocate Program, we're funded by the Illinois Department of Human Services specifically to work with individuals who have been selected to apply for services and those who have received a notice of early PONS notification. And we are a statewide organization. And Ruth, will you tell them a little bit about what we have learned in working with these two classes of individuals, those who received the early PONS notification and those who have actually been selected to apply for services?
Sure. Thank you, Shirley. Yes, well, we have learned so much along the way, and our role is to advise and prepare and connect those families, those individuals seeking services from the state, and connect them with service providers, with the Individual Service Coordination Agency. And along the way, we have learned that they need a lot of information. They don't know what to do. They receive the letter from the state, and they don't even understand some of the verbiage that is being used in those letters. But we are here to assist them. Our role as family advocates in the Liga's program is to just put apart all the program and then put it back together with the families and explain every piece of the puzzle so they understand and they prepare in this process of getting services. Because yes, navigating the system of the state and trying to get services out of the state, it could be a daunting process, but we are happy to be here for them and to explain them and to be there to advise, to advocate, and work with the families and the individuals with special needs alongside, so they are not afraid of walking through the path of getting services from
from the state.
Right. And I think there are probably a lot of people who will call you and say, I don't even know what questions to ask.
That is correct. That is very true.
Yeah. So what is the first piece of information when you talk to a family who comes to you like that and says, I just don't even know what this letter is, what it means? Where do they start? How do you start figuring that out with them?
Well, the first thing that I tell the families is just tell them, relax. Don't feel overwhelmed. I'm here to support you. I'm here to explain every single question that you may have. We explain that we are funded by the Department of Human Services and that this program is completely free to the families. So after that, I just start explaining the letter and say, okay, well, the PONS list is just a list. It's not a program. Mm-hmm. It's just that you're telling the state that you need services and you are put into that list. And then if you receive that letter, it's the state is telling you to prepare because a selection is coming soon. And they want you to know what you need to do to be ready for that, which is gathering a number of documents that you need to have readily available for when that time comes. And then knowing from the menu of services that will be available to you or your family member, what is the best? What is the program, the service that is going to benefit you and your family the best? And then I start explaining, you know, all of the services one by one. And obviously there is a number of questions. They oftentimes don't know what to ask, but once they start hearing about the step-by-step process, they feel at ease and they say, oh, okay, that relates to me. Mm-hmm. I understand that now. What if? And then they start asking questions about their personal experience, their personal case, and then we focus on them because it's all about the person who's going to receive the service.
Absolutely. There's not a one-size-fits-all thing in the world of disability, is there?
Exactly.
Shirley, why don't we talk a little bit about your upcoming program? You've done a lot of work, you know, educating families and professionals over the years, but things are a little different now with COVID-19. So you have a conference coming up. Talk a little bit about what that's going to be like and how it's going to work.
Oh, happily. But before I do that, let me just add one final bullet point to what Ruth shared. One of the things we also share, which is really, really critical, is we explain the difference between our program and the Independent Service Coordination Agency. We emphasize that their ISC, Independent Service Coordination Agency, is their gateway to services because many times they don't even know who that is. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to add that on. And thank you, Ruth, for explaining that so excellently. Well, Vicki, this event that we have coming up on March 24th indeed is our second virtual informational seminar. It is the second one that we will be doing. It's the ninth year of actually doing these. But last year in March, when COVID hit and shut down everything, we had to come up with a way to continue to meet the needs of our families by sharing information. So we quickly transitioned to online. We do monthly webinars with individuals who've been selected to apply for services and those who have the early PONS notification. And that consists, again, of reiterating what the process is, things you need to start preparing for. So on the 24th, we are so excited because there was 1,572 letters that were sent out to early PON selectees who were notified that they are likely to be selected later in the summer. So this event on the 24th, we will have an awesome lineup of guests, including Allison Stark. Allison is the DD director for the Department of Human Services. We will have Sherry Snyder from Benefit Solutions to talk about Medicaid and the things you need to know, because as you know, Vicki, these services are paid for by Medicaid. We will also have Brian and Benji Rubin from Rubin Law to talk about what you need to know as you plan for your future, guardianship, all of those different things. And we will also have the Liggett's Court Monitor, Ronnie Combs. And we will have Amy Newell, who is the executive director down at the Ark of Winnebago. Mm-hmm. And she will talk about an optional service called SDA, or self-directed assistance. Now, what's really critical, Vicki, for families, we are asking them to submit questions to me, Shirley at thearchofil.org, by March the 8th. And these are questions that they want to be addressed by the DD director. So anyone who sent us these questions, I will get them to the director, and she will answer them to the best of her ability. Mm-hmm. So we are so excited about this, Vicki, and still being able to meet the needs of our families. So we have, you know, we have ourselves available at our website. We have information. We record our webinars. We do whatever it takes to get the information out to our families.
Sure. And if people want to see some of those recorded webinars, where would they find them?
Excellent question. They can actually go to our website, www.thearchofil.org, and they can go under resources, and they will see recorded webinars. And I can't say this enough. We have had many of these webinars translated to Spanish. We have a lot of documents that are on our website that are in Spanish. Mm-hmm. In fact, Roop is going to be hosting a webinar on March the 31st that's completely in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can tell, Vicki, I'm excited.
We're doing
great things to reach the needs of our people.
Yeah, and it's a real struggle these days, I'm sure. Certainly people are, you know, calling and emailing and so forth, but you can't meet people face-to-face these days. And I think that their lives and the lives of their adult children have changed considerably in the past year. What are the biggest struggles that you see that families are dealing with now that COVID has hit us?
That's an excellent question. And actually, another program of the ARC, the Assistive Technology Program, it is funded by the Illinois Council on Developmental Disabilities, because many families are facing isolation. They're feeling alone. But with them applying to receive assistive technology, although it's not in person, they can participate in virtual events. They can participate through Zoom. And so, again, if you want to get information on that program, you can reach the Arc of Illinois, www.thearchofil.org. But some of the issues that they're facing is, you know, many of our individuals are not able to wear masks because of, you know, their condition or their behavior. So, like my daughter, they've been home since March. So being able to take advantage of assistive technology to continue to participate in online events. The ARC hosted a couple of weeks ago, I think it was later in 2020, a five-day virtual Speak Up, Speak Out. Mm-hmm. And that's something we normally do in person, but we took it online. So, you know, that's, I think, the biggest issue, the isolation, the frustration that individuals feel when they're living at home, not being able to, you know, participate face-to-face.
Yeah, and not only that, but people who were living pretty good, you know, inclusive and active lives in the community. And, you know, a lot of people worked hard to make that happen. And then all of a sudden that was taken away. How do you even begin to rebuild?
That's an excellent question, Vicki. And it's also a personal one. Because as I shared with you, my daughter, Tamika, I worked really, really hard to get her in a community day service program, and she was also doing employment with support. So what I try to do the best to my ability is emulate some of those activities in my home.
Mm-hmm.
But that's difficult. I mean, I only have one child, but there are other people who may have, you know, other individuals. So it's really hard, and I think it's something that we're working and learning from each other. Ruth, do you have any thoughts you'd like to share on that from your experience and what you're hearing from your family?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, COVID has hit everybody all around, and we are all in this together. And yeah, it is hard to understand sometimes for us, even imagine for them, that sometimes they don't understand completely what's going on out there. And just being at home, confined, and not understanding to 100% why they cannot go back to their program or the school or the community setting that they were used to. These families are frustrated. These people with individuals with special needs are frustrated, and they don't understand why they have to stay at home. But like you mentioned, Shirley, the opportunity to have and apply for this the assistive technology grant gives them at least one light at the end of the tunnel and see, well, at least I am able to see my friends or some of the people that I know in person. I can see them on the screen by using the technology and having access to a tablet or an iPad or a laptop that I can use and participate in so many of the events that the Arc of Illinois organizes. And, you know, that's at least something. And I see the faces of the people, these individuals, smiling on the screen, say, hey, I know you. I know this person. And that makes, you know, that makes my day. When that happens,
we could talk for a long time. I could talk for a long time to both of you, but we are running short, and so I want to be sure to spend a minute talking about how people can get engaged with your seminar coming up. Where do they go to register, and how does that work?
Oh, happily, they can go to the Arc of Illinois website, www.thearcofil.org, and they can register. And let me say, it is free for families and self-advocates. And if they have trouble registering online, they can call 708-331-7370. And Sakari Asbury, the liaison between the Family Support Network and the LIGAS program, will happily take their information and help them get registered. So www.thearcofil.org and select event.
And this is for just families who have received their letter recently, or is it for any family who's interested?
No, this is for any family member or self-advocate who has a disability who is interested in getting information. It is statewide. That's one beauty of this pandemic. We're able to reach more people because many people would not be able to attend this event in Chicago. But now that it's online, they're able to, attend. So it is free for families and self-advocates. So they are welcome to apply. It is statewide.
And the deadline for registration is when?
Well, the event is March 24th. I would encourage families to register as soon as possible. We don't have a deadline.
Okay.
But you know what? Getting this information with this lineup of individuals, I wouldn't wait. I would register as soon as possible, because if you register and you're not able to attend, you can unregister. Okay. So I would not take the chance.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, both of you, Ruth Aguilar and Shirley Perez of the LIGAS Family Advocate Program. Thanks so much, ladies. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great rest of your week.